Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody had a good week this week. The 1 week after our fasting, and I was going to say something else. My brain's in the wrong place, and so I just want to say, you know, I definitely, for me, am learning not to go to some of my old comfort behaviors when things are not going the way I think they should be going. And I was having a conversation with my husband this week talking about that, and we're talking about the growth, you know, and how even when things are not going the way I thought they should go in my head, God's growing me in that, because he's teaching me to not rely on what I think should be happening, but rely on what he has happening, and for me to look for that instead, to look to him, not to myself. So I hope everybody had a really good week. I just want to say good morning. God loves you. And please open your hearts and your minds to our worship and our message this morning. And just be blessed.
Jesus, let's stand today, church. How many of you guys know that God has something for us every single day? Worship you today, this morning, Father. We worship you today, God. We worship you today, God. I thank you that you're here in this place. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you chose us today, Lord, to rest on, God. You're choosing us today, Lord. Here in this place, God. God, I pray for every heart in this place this morning, Lord, that we would be stirred up by your presence, God. Lord, that we would not be complacent, God, in where we have been with you, God. But we would open up our hearts. We would open up our minds to receive all that you have for us today, Jesus. Lord, take the roadblocks out of our minds, whatever is keeping us from stepping into what you have for us today. God, I declare today, Lord, that you would remove roadblocks in our heart and in our mind and in our spirit. Lord, that we would not be satisfied with old manna. We would not be satisfied with what you did last Sunday or what you did last year or at the last spiritual moment we had, God. But we would want to seek you more, Father. No matter what happens today, God, that we would seek you more. No matter what songs are sang today, God. No matter what message is preached today, God. That we would seek you more, God. That we would leave this place just a little bit closer today with you, Father. Transform hearts today, God. You don't need an event, Lord, to transform hearts. You don't need a retreat. You don't need a conference. You don't need a special worship night to transform hearts, God. So I just declare in this place for transformed hearts in Jesus' name. That we'd leave this place never the same. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, that you're in this place. Thank you, Father, that you're in this place. Oh, even if it's just for me, you're in this place. Love you, God. Love.
Jesus, there is love. I just wanna move your heart.
delivery. And some of the houses I delivered to were just like, you know, your typical houses. There wasn't like anything special about them necessarily. But every once in a while, or actually quite often, I would deliver to these immaculate houses, like type of houses you only see in movies, depending on the part of Portland I was in. Houses that you'd have to go down a private driveway to get to, and you'd drive up to it, and you know, the whole front of the house is just made up of windows, and you could see inside and see all the nice furniture, and you just knew that must have been a doctor, possibly even somebody who's, you know, an actor or something. And I feel like the Lord's reminding me of that this morning, because I feel like there's people in here that see themselves as nothing special. Like that house that any Joe Schmo can live in. You know, that $100,000, $200,000 home. God wants you to know this morning that that's not how He sees you. He sees you as immaculate. He sees you as desired. He sees you as beautiful, as valuable. That when He approaches your house, He wants to be there. It is you that moves His heart. It's you that moves His heart. The question is, tell me what moves your heart. And He's responding, you move my heart. It isn't a pretty song with pads in the background. It's you that moves my heart, child. It's you that moves my heart, son. It's you that moves my heart, daughter. Today, you move God's heart, even just right where you're at. If you have a hard time believing that, I would just challenge you that you would just say that to yourself. Put your hand over your heart and just say, I move His heart. Even if you don't believe it, there's power in making a declaration over your life before you believe it. Son, daughter, you move His heart. Thank you, Lord. I just wanna move your
When you have a child that comes up with their hands up, ready, saying, hold me, I want to hold you. There's nothing that woos a parent's heart quicker than something like that. And as this song is saying, like, he gave it all so that we can have it all. And we've been going through this transformation, this, like, really kind of putting ourselves out there and going through fasting to strip away the old stuff so that we can become new, right? And so we can have the new things of the Lord and the more of the Lord. But how much do you want it? I know we're small in here. There's not many of us, so it's even more scary. But I'm going to challenge you right now that if you want that difference, if you want to have that difference that God has for you, come and get it. Let's come up here. Let's get our hands up and strip ourselves of our own dignity and allow him to make that change. Because if we continue to do the same thing and expect something different, that's the definition of insanity. If you want something different for yourself, even if you don't fully understand it, you don't have to understand it. Just trust it. I'm just going to challenge you right now to come on up and just allow yourself to be completely vulnerable before the Father and watch what he can do. whatever that thing is that's causing you to be distracted or to not be able to enter into its fullest. I want you just to put that thing in your hand right now. Yes, and then I just want you to exchange it. Be ready to let it go and give it to God. And just wait for a second because He's going to exchange it for something new, something different. Take this thing, whatever, however big or small, God, that you would take it and that you would exchange it for the beauty, God, that you have in its place, Jesus, and that your peace, all of who you are, God, would come and stand in that place and bring hope, Father, to whatever it is that's causing the distraction, Jesus, that our eyes would be once again focused on you. Yes, Lord, we want the more of who you are, God. Yes, we want all of your things, God, all of you. No matter the cost, Jesus, I just pray, Father, I just thank you for being here amongst us, even still. Yeah. You know, He just wants an encounter with you guys. He wants to encounter you in a new way right now. So let's just raise our hands right now. And I believe that as we're standing here, just for a minute, that He's going to reach down and He's going to give you something. You're going to feel His tangible touch in Jesus' name. And those things that feel so big are going to seem just so small because they're going to be put in the perspective of eternity, of His eternity for you. Yes, just let Him encounter you. Just let Him encounter you. Jesus.
in Revelation, it says that the way that they conquered the enemy of their soul was by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And sometimes I think we think of the word of their testimony, we think that that's some kind of, you know, amazing miracle that God did in your life. But do you know, when you say, "I am a child of God," that's a testimony. You're testifying the truth, the reality that you're no longer a slave. You're testifying the truth that you have been bought with an extremely high price, Jesus Christ's life, and that you're now God's again. So when you say, "I am a child of God," that's part of what's overcoming the enemy in your life. That's part of what's destroying the works of the enemy in your life. So when we take some time and we don't just rush through worship and we're being encouraged to press in, that's because it's giving us an opportunity to have the word of our testimony. It's giving us an opportunity to communicate to our soul, because our spirit knows who we are, but it's telling our soul that you're a child of God. You're not a slave to all those things that were drawing you aside and distracting you and keeping you from God's best. You're a child of God. And when we confess that, we become more and more like Him, because our mind is being renewed. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So I encourage you, anytime we take time and we're slowing down and we're, you know, not just finishing a song in, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes sometimes, but, or trying to get through a service so that we can say we're done. No, we're here to experience what God has for us. And like Eric said, what we experienced last week, as great as it was, that was last week. God has something for us today. And so we need to be patient. We need to realize that as we draw near to Him, He's drawing near to us. Lifting our hands, our holy hands, without wrath or doubting, He's drawing near to us. And we're preparing our hearts to be able to be changed and transformed and to be more like Jesus. Because that's God's goal for us, is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you guys take a few minutes and just greet each other? God bless you. Good to see all of you this morning. And we'll see what the Lord has for the rest of the service. So we started about, I think it was just right after the elections, and we started praying for Yakima, really. Well, I think we were praying for Yakima a little bit before that, but every Sunday, and praying for the government. And reason we're doing that is because prayer changes things.
Amen.
And when we pray and we're gathered together and our hearts knit together, the faith increases, I believe, for us to believe that God's going to do a supernatural work here. So, Father, right now, we just lift up Yakima before your throne, and we just ask that you would just cause, somebody doing something? That you would just cause, Lord, your spirit, your power, Lord, your glory, Lord, to be revealed in this place. Lord, in the scriptures, it says that the light came to an area, and that was you, Lord, and shined in the darkness. So, Father, we pray that that's what would happen here in Yakima, that your light, your glory, your power, Lord, would shine in this darkness. Lord, in the areas, Lord, that are trying to hide away from you, that are trying to keep themselves hid from you, Lord, I pray that you would allow, Lord, your glory and your power, Lord, your people, Lord, to go into those places, Lord, and share your love and share your light. We pray for everyone, Lord, that's hurting in this city, everyone that's depressed, everyone that feels like their life's not worth anything, Father. We pray that you would just give them value and validate them, Lord, and encourage them, Lord, that in you, Lord, that there's a fresh new life, Lord. There's a fresh new day, Lord, that they can look forward to. Father, we just pray right now, Lord, that you would just touch every house of worship here, Lord, in this city, Lord, those that are calling you by name, Lord, that you would let your fire burn, Lord, in the hearts of your people, Lord, that your leaders, Lord, hear what the Spirit of God is saying in this time, Lord, what the Spirit is saying, Lord, to the church at this particular time in Yakima, Lord, that we would be in tune, Lord, that pastors, Lord, would be communicating the same message of the Spirit at this time, Lord. We know that you're drawing us to yourself, Lord, that there's a fresh wind blowing, Father, and we pray that wind, Lord, would just blow all over Yakima, blow the chaff away, blow the dross away, Lord, blow everything away, Lord, that's not of you, and let your glory shine, Lord, in this place. And pray for our government, Lord. We pray for the president and all his cabinet, Lord. We pray for all the different offices, Lord, that are with this, that are in this government, the different departments, Lord. Pray, God, that you would just touch them, Lord. You would bring your truth, Lord, to them, Father. That if they're going the wrong way, Lord, that you would help turn them around, God, and let them follow your ways, Lord. Lord, touch hearts, Lord, in the administration. Help them to come to know you if they don't know you. Lord, those that know you, awaken them, Lord, to a deeper revelation of who they are in you and why they're where they're at, Lord. We pray for the Senate and the Congress, Lord, mandates, Lord, would come out of Washington, D.C. Lord, we choose to look at your kingdom. We choose to look at your reign, Lord, not what the bad reports are. We choose to believe you, Lord, and believe your report. And we just ask you to bless this nation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Check. Amen. So real quick, before we get started, I wanted to, you guys might've noticed these out there in our, entryway there. This is not uncommon for churches to have bulletins, so we're not special by any means. However, I just wanted to cast a little bit of vision in regard to this, cause I know that it's been a minute since we've had a bulletin here at the church. It's been a minute. Yeah. So just to let you guys know, every Sunday churchgoers, there will be nothing new in this for you guys. You guys know everything that's in there. So this is for when you see somebody walk in and they might not grab one, or you invite a friend. This gives them information that they might just everything they need to know. And also, though, there is something in there for everybody, because on this sheet here, you know, if you guys need a prayer, even if you don't want to tell us who it is, I mean, we'd love to know who we're praying for, but if you're like, hey, we need, you know, I need prayer for, and we have the prayer chain and, you know, lots of different ways, and we could pray for you here right now. It doesn't have to be till later, but if you're just like, I need this person, or I need prayer for this, like, please don't hesitate just to write it on here and put it in the offering box, either in the back or over here, just so we can pray for you. Okay. And then I'd encourage you to, if you see, you know, if you have a friend that's coming and or a family member and they're looking for a home, you know, like, please encourage them to take one of these and fill it out and give us their information. That way we could reach out to them and just say, hey, you know, how are you doing? We are normal people that aren't going to do anything weird to you. So just, you know, fill it out. But this little piece rips out. It's perforated. And glory to God, I printed 100 of these on the wrong side when I originally printed them. So a lot of work went into these. It's a labor of love. I use all of our ink at home. And
it was worth
it. It was worth it. But anyways, I just wanted to cast a little bit of vision about the bulletin, and just so you guys aware that you don't have to grab one every Sunday because there's not going to be anything new. But if you want to grab one, I guess go ahead, because you also take notes if you don't take notes. Okay? That being said, prayer. So how many of you guys know a life lived with Jesus is a life of prayer? Right? This is a very vital part in our Christian walk, to have a lifestyle of prayer. And prayer can look, prayer will look different to everybody. You know, some people find it very powerful to just get quiet before the Lord, and, you know, it's just no music, no anything, they're just quiet, right? Some people need, you know, they need a loud worship set playing in the background, or they need some pads played in the background. Some people need to walk around and pray. Some people need to be on their knees and pray, be on their face. Like, I would say there's, as long as you're seeking the face of the Lord, there's not, there's no wrong way. I mean, I'm scared to say that because I feel like there probably is a wrong way to do it. But I'd say if your heart is in a space where you're like, my goal is to seek Jesus, then there probably isn't a wrong way. And something has shifted in our house and in our hearts here at One Life Family Worship, in that we want to put an emphasis on the power of prayer. Imagine that, a church putting emphasis on the power of prayer. And not to say we hadn't prayed prior to this, because we have. However, there's now been like almost like a highlight, like God has put a spotlight on saying, we need to be a house of prayer, right? And we had a prayer night a week ago, a little over a week ago, where we prayed from literally 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. Okay. And it was incredible. You know, we did seek God the whole time, and I believe we found God as well. And but that was just the beginning of God shifting our heart towards, this is what I want you guys to focus on right now. We do something here as well on Sundays, where we were every morning at from around 10:15 to 10:20, we were praying right here, and we would just stand around this table, and it was great. And after the prayer night, me and Pastor Mike were talking, and I was like, you know, that room that we prayed in last night, like, we need to just make that a prayer room. We need to say, this is a prayer room. This is where we go to pray. And instead of just giving the Lord the 10 minutes before service and saying, okay, great, go team, let's actually create a space where we actually seek the Lord. So I'm telling you guys this because this isn't just for us. If you want to come pray with us at 10 a.m. in the morning from 10 to 10:20, we're going to be downstairs. And again, it's going to look different. It's not always going to look the same. It's not going to be a scheduled, all right, from 10 to 10:05, we pray this way. From 10:05 to 10:10, we stand on our heads and pray. Like, there's not going to be a schedule. It's just the only thing we're going to accomplish, or our only goal is to seek the heart of God. Mm-hmm. Did you have something? Mm-hmm.
And if you are so inclined or feel prompted, like, we're here probably about as early as 9:15, and you want to come early and just begin to prepare the way in the prayer room, I kind of have you highlighted, Lynn. if that's something on your heart, I don't know why, I feel like you're just a powerful prayer warrior. And if you feel ever so inclined that you want to come ahead of time and just get that pot stirred and get the room warm and ready for us, I think that's amazing. And we just want to bless you guys in that. Like, you don't have to wait till 10 o'clock when we start, but if you want to come early and give some time for yourself, or just be in a place to be able to receive from the Lord ahead of time, I think that would be
Fantastic.
And what's so amazing is this morning was our first day to do that, and already the power of the prophetic started this morning, like, because we did have prophetic going on while we were downstairs for the all-night prayer, but this morning the Lord moved, and I'm just going to tell you, when we set aside time to pray, Jesus will meet us there. And already, I kept hearing all morning long, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I also.
Amen.
We had like five or six, and then all of us this morning, I just kept hearing that over and over, where two or three are gathered, there am I. And I do have to say the tagline at the back of that was, if that's true and Jesus is in our prayer time, and Jesus is here when we're letting the time, taking the time to do what, would I be doing what I'm doing?
Wow.
Or would I be even on my face or hardly able to lift my head? Or you understand what I'm saying? If that's true and two or three of us are gathered and Jesus is here, would I act differently?
Wow.
And I think I would.
Yeah, I just want to basically say this. I believe that there is a shift that's taken place. And like I was praying for the city of Yakima, I don't think it's just us. I know Eric's been communicating with some pastors, and there is like a stirring that's happening in the city. And, you know, the 21 days, we were really felt like we wanted to, you know, I'll put a slide up here that kind of communicates what it was about. It was 21 days for passionately, purposefully pursuing God. And I feel like it's not just supposed to be 21 days. I think last week we shared how we felt after the fast that we wanted to maintain a heart of fasting, not necessarily, you know, a fasting in the same type of way, but that we're setting aside things that we would normally, you know, indulge in and saying, I'm not going to have as much as that. I want more of you. And again, each one is different. You know, sometimes all it is just being quiet and just keeping your day quiet or turning yourself to some worship music or whatever it may be. But when we change our, you know, it says set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. That's what we're doing. And so I believe that what we want to see our hearts are and have always been is that all of you and those that aren't here, that all of them, that they would become who God wants them to be. And we're sensing that for that to happen in a greater depth is for us to spend more time in prayer, you know, spend more time in worship on Sunday mornings. You know, we could talk here for, you know, for 20 minutes and a half hour, 45 minutes, and it could be something that is really informative and maybe teaches you a new truth, but 3 minutes in God's presence and it could change your life forever.
Amen.
You know, 30 seconds in God's presence could change your life forever. And so that's really, I guess, what I'm trying to communicate is that we make sure that we're allowing God to do here what he wants to do. And right now we really feel that prayer is something that he wants us to emphasize. And that being said, we're going to have a monthly, once a month, Saturday night prayer, and it will be downstairs in the prayer room. And that is going to become a prayer room. That will be a prayer room. It'll have the ambience of prayer. It maybe have some posters up that will remind you that it's about prayer. We haven't been using it for anything else for a long time. And I love the idea, like, let's prepare a place that God can join us when we go there. You know, I want us to realize that God's not up in heaven and we're trying to get him to come down. All we're trying to do is get the God that lives inside of us to come alive in us to the place where we're more, aware and captivated by him instead of just this life. So, and then we're going to have quarterly an all-night prayer. I wanted to start it once a month right away, but they kind of said, we should probably take it a little slower, because I was just so blessed in that all-night prayer. So that's what I have to say. Do you have something else to add?
Yeah, I think, too, that if you want to get your steps in, come to an all-night prayer, because
get your steps in because
legitimately I was sore the next day, and I was like, why am I sore? It's like, oh, because I walked like probably 8 miles last night back and forth, just walking around and praying. But there is something powerful about creating a space. You know, it isn't about a place. It isn't. However, there is something powerful about creating a space.
Yes.
Right. You think about when you have a baby, right? Like, what changes from the day before you found out, ladies, that you were pregnant to the day after? All of a sudden now you have things to do, right? Like, life does not go on as normal. It just isn't like, okay, great, I found out I'm pregnant. Awesome. I guess in 9 months we'll figure this out. No, there's then preparation that takes place. And the same when God is speaking to us about something, there is preparation that needs to take place, right? And there's power in stewarding the space that we're creating for Him, right? It's not that we put these lights up and we're going to put posters up and then that's going to be, God's going to be like, awesome, I like that room, now I'm going to show up. No, we wouldn't have to do any of that. However, there is power in saying, God, we're going to do this with passion, we're going to do this with purpose, and we're going to pursue You. There's power in that. Yeah. Right? Because just like I've been saying, like with the bulletin and like everything we're doing, like every church in the city would say they pray, right? Every church in the city would say that they do these things. The difference being, though, is it with passion? Is it with purpose? Right? And are we preparing a space? And so I think that, you know, I want to read Acts 2 real quick.
Can I say something before you read that? Because you said when a mom finds out that she's pregnant, there's a purpose, things begin to happen. Well, the first thing that happens is her heart buds open with love. And when we know that we're going to prepare a place, a space for Jesus, the first thing that needs to change is our heart needs to open up, yeah. Bloom open, to where that space is created for Him, so that then there's an activation that happens within me, mm-hmm. that now is going to be manifest out of me, wow. in this space that we've created.
Wow. That's good.
That's super good. Yeah, Acts 2, I just want to read this real quick. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. This is the disciples, right? Jesus is gone. They're afraid, even though Jesus had told them everything that was going to happen. I'm leaving, Holy Spirit's coming, all this, right? Even though the disciples they're all huddled together. They're like, we just saw our leader get crucified, right? They're huddled together. And it says, they were all together in one place. Then suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, was it because the house was so special, or was it because they were waiting in anticipation?
Right.
And were their hearts prepared? Like Gay was saying, were their hearts now ready? Okay, God, we don't know what's going to happen, but we need You to move right now. We're scared. We just saw Jesus get nailed to a cross, and we don't know where He is. We don't know what's happening. And in that, Jesus shows up, Holy Spirit shows up like tongues of fire, right? You guys, what would happen is if we just turned up our prayer lives just one notch, right? Maybe you pray 5 minutes right now. What if you prayed 6 minutes? What if as a church we didn't just pray for 10 minutes before service, but we prayed for 20 minutes, right? What if? God honors when we come to seek Him and find Him.
Yeah.
God honors when we create those spaces for Him, the physical spaces, but as well as the right here spaces. Mm-hmm. When we say, God, my heart is ready, mm-hmm. for You to move. I don't know what that's going to look like, God. I don't know what that's going to feel like, God, but I'm ready. I'm creating a space for You. I'm opening up my chest, if you will, and saying, okay, do what you're going to do with it. Mm-hmm. I give you complete freedom, complete access to this, God. I'm excited to see what God does in our house, but I'm also excited to see what God does in your house.
Come on.
And the challenge I want to give, church, is that we as families, as individual families, we would gather our family around and say, we're going to be a house of prayer.
Yes.
We're not going to wait till Sunday or till Monday night, youth students, or till, you know, the cell groups or the cell groups. Well, that's a whole term. The small groups that we have on Wednesdays. We're not going to wait to
Tuesday.
Yeah. Tuesday night or Wednesday at 7.
Okay. Don't forget the girls.
You know, we're not going to wait for those moments to seek the Lord, but we're actually going to become a house of prayer in our own homes.
Yeah.
Right? And we're going to gather our family. I'll never forget. And this story I've told many a time just because it impacted me so much. When we took our big risk and went down to Reading and the whole thing, right? And I called Pastor Mike on day one. We were gone. We were in Reading day one. Pastor, what do I do? Right? Looking for wisdom, looking for love, looking for like comfort, looking for answers, looking for him saying, hey, I'm going to send you money and we're going to fix this. But you know what this man tells me? Just gather your family and pray. And I did. And we watched God show up because we prayed. Not because he wrote me a check and said, it's in the bank, you guys are good. Not because he said, okay, I know somebody in Reading and we're going to figure this out for you. No, because he gave me the most valuable thing he could give me, and that's pray. And the crazy thing about that is I already had that, but I wasn't accessing it. Maybe I thought it was, but we weren't accessing it. And he said that, and I'm like, okay, let's pray. And we prayed, and God showed up. What if God showed up when we prayed?
Imagine that.
Imagine.
But there's a word that you said once, and I haven't heard it yet again, but a woman, when you said, what happens when you find out, she's expecting something.
Yep.
What are we expecting? We're expecting God to move. We're expecting, because we need him so much, we're expecting that need is going to draw upon his heart, and he's going to show up. Prayer. He's going to show up, and he's going to show off, because he wants his kids to have everything spiritually, not only that they need, but everything spiritually that they want.
Amen.
What if our first line of defense when it came to life's hardships was prayer? Like, what if that was the church's first response, right? Not, hey, we need to have a meeting of the eldership so we could talk about this, or, you know, like what if our first response was to pray? Or what if as individuals, like, I'm struggling in my marriage and we're fighting all the time. Not Nancy and I, we're perfect, okay? But let's say that was the issue, right? Yes, I believe in counsel. I do. I think that's biblical, and we need that as well. Yes, I believe in going and getting help and getting somebody in your corner. But what if my first line of defense is, let's pray.
Amen.
Right? What if in my finances, I'm struggling in finances, and instead of my first response being, I need to figure out how I can sell something to get money, or how I can take out another loan, or how I can refinance my home, or whatever, right? What if before I did that, I prayed? Hmm. Right?
That's good.
I mean, I know it sounds almost too simple, and I don't want to oversimplify this, but what I do is I want to put an emphasis on if our lives can carry this lifestyle of prayer, you will see things change. You will see things shift. It doesn't mean tomorrow your problems are going to get better. But it's like we always say in our house, it's impossible for nothing to happen when you pray. It's impossible. You may still be in your same financial debt. You may still be in that broken relationship. But God is faithful. And God will show up. Something happened. Even if you didn't feel it, even if you didn't see it, even if the situation is still cruddy, God still moved.
Yes.
Now, one of the things we have to keep in mind, and it's hard for us to understand, that God is already answering our prayer before we pray. He already knows about it. He already knows what we're going to pray. What the prayer is, it's a way for us to connect in faith with what God already wants to do. Because he does. And when you guys were standing you know, around in your U-Haul or around the U-Haul or whatever, however you guys were doing it. But I mean, they were basically saying, we're a little bit, off script here because we didn't think this was going to happen. We thought we were going to pull into Reading and everything was just going to, they're going to have a red carpet for us and, you know, everything was just going to go perfect. And when Eric pulled in, he realized, well, this is a different situation than what I was thinking. Yeah. But God knew when they left Yakima what he was going to do. You guys just needed to get in your hearts what he had already planned to do. And then when you guys got into that position by saying, Lord, we're here, we're asking you to meet this need, he says, that's what I've been waiting to do. And he did. And I mean, that testimony of how, you know, basically got your house with really nothing down. And I mean, pretty much just on your word and how you had favor. Yeah, Nancy's like, yeah.
I know. It was, to go back to that time is amazing. Like, because we knew leading up to that, like, we didn't have a whole lot of money to our name, but we had some, but it was tied up in a local bank here. We didn't have a national bank open or anything like that, so funds couldn't transfer. We had to open it, but it was like Labor Day weekend, and so there it was going to be even further out, and so there was nothing that we could do. We had nothing to give, and this guy just had to take our word and believe that we had money sending somewhere to give him, and he still took us in. But that, I believe that was just by the faith of the Lord, because he reached out to us for this place, and it was just one of those things of setting aside our expectations. Like you said, you know, we thought, because we had prophetic words and we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that we were supposed to go. Like, to think to do anything else made me physically feel sick in my stomach. Like, I just knew, like, no, we have to go. But we didn't know what we were going to. We didn't know where the house was going to be. We didn't have any plans like that. And we have 2 children, a 4 and a 2-year-old at the time, and felt really dumb when we got there and we're sleeping in a parking lot at Bethel Church and sitting in the all night prayer room, just trying to figure out what was going on. But that was our sanctuary for the night. We were like, okay, we don't have anywhere else to go. We even had a security guard come at 2 o'clock in the morning, tapping on the window, like, what are you guys doing? You can't be here. And we're like, we don't have anywhere else to go. And he's like, okay, you can sleep here one night, but then you got to figure something out. And so it was just funny how the Lord set these things up, but it was also having expectation for him to move, but setting aside what that's supposed to look like and being okay with him and his timing. Because even though sometimes he'll give you answers, but it's in riddles. And I think it's because he enjoys the dialogue and the continual pursuance. And he's like, I'm going to give you some, but I'm not going to give you all. Because we have to be ready to receive that all, right? And so we have to get outside of ourselves and what we think is supposed to happen. And once we've done that and we are undignified and we're this puddle of mess, throwing luggage out on the parking lot thing because you're throwing a tantrum with the Lord because he didn't have things set up for you the way that you thought that he should. It's amazing, you guys, what you can do. I know, it's shocking, right?
Yeah, I think what I wanted to say from that moment and since then, the seed that was planted in our hearts was this thing's prayer. And my favorite thing is when I meet somebody and they start talking about a situation that seems impossible, and in believers, and I get to say, yeah, like, let's pray about it, right? I had a youth student back in Portland named Ian, and he was in this Christian school, and they would always go to the Philippines for their mission trip. They had to raise their money and all that stuff. And this kid was, I love him to death, but his trip was like in April, and he told us like in February.
Late February.
He had to raise like $5,000, right? And it wasn't our responsibility. That was on him. But he told me, and he knew all year, mind you, right? And he told me, and I was like, okay. And because it wasn't just for him, his dad was going to go with him. And I was like, okay. And he's already counting himself out. We're not going to go. And there's no way. There's no way I can get $5,000, right? Yeah, there is no way you can get $5,000. You're a dumb 15-year-old, okay? but with God, there's the X factor, right? But God. And money's easy. It's easy. It's nothing to him. Right? And so we began praying, and we did, you know, we did like a little bake sale, raised $100 or something. Right. But we just began praying. Yeah. We began praying, and that kid went on that trip. Mm-hmm. He got random checks. He got random donations from places he wasn't expecting. He had more than enough. Him and his dad went, right? I say all that to say that is that this is the seed that was planted in, you know, I mean, before Reading, it was in us, right? But we began to get watered, and now there's this thing that's like, prayer is the answer. Prayer, like, if you guys don't have a prayer life, today's the day to say, I'm going to go on that adventure to figure out what it looks like for me to have a prayer life, for me to wake up and pray, or pray throughout my day or whatever, but to actually do this thing and seek the Father and watch him move. And this isn't a message where I'm saying you pray, then your life is good. So if you're hearing that, I'm telling you, that's not how it works. Because there's a lot of praying people that have hard situations. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of praying people that have prayed for individuals, that prayed for people, that their family members that wanted them to live, and they passed still. We've experienced that. Or they prayed for their financial miracle and they didn't see it. And this is the mysteries of God. However, it doesn't negate the fact that God is still good, that God is still faithful. It doesn't negate the fact that prayer is still powerful. And I wish I had all the answers to say, this is why this didn't happen. But I'm not going to jump into that camp of trying to build a theology around the testimony that I didn't get. I'm not going to build a theology around this thing where I prayed for my 9-year-old nephew that had cancer. I'm not going to build a theology around, well, I just didn't pray hard enough. Or God just needed him a little bit more. That's not a theology I'm willing to accept, because God is good and God doesn't need 9-year-olds in heaven, right? So prayer is a seed that needs to be planted today in the hearts of God's people. And I would just, again, whatever that looks like, I hope you're thinking right now, what does my day need to look like now? How do I place prayer as a priority in my life, in my family's life, in my individual's life? Did you have something, Gabe?
I want to read something to you guys. Back in the 15th century, a tiny village near Nuremberg lived a family with 18 children. 18. In order merely to keep food on the table for his big family, the father, a goldsmith by profession, worked almost 18 hours a day at his shop and any other paying work he could find in the neighborhood. Despite their seemingly hopeless condition, two of the eldest children had a dream. They both wanted to pursue their talents for art, but they knew well that their father would never be financially able to send either one of them to Nuremberg to study at the academy. After many long discussions at night, in their crowded bed, the two boys finally worked out a pact. They would toss a coin. The loser would go down into the nearby mines with his earnings, support his brother while he attended the academy. The winner of the toss will attend the academy first and complete his studies. Once the first winner of the toss completes his studies, he will help the other brother to attend the academy and support him financially by selling arts or working at the mines if necessary. They tossed a coin on a Sunday morning after church. Albrecht Dürer, one of the brothers, won the toss and went off to Nuremberg. Albert, the other brother, went to work at the mines for the next 4 years. Financed his brother, whose work at the academy was almost an immediate sensation. Albrecht's etchings, his woodcuts, and his oils were far better than most of his professors. By the time he graduated, he was bringing in earnings considerably more than what his commission works were worth. When the young artist returned to his village, the family held a festival dinner on their lawn to celebrate Albrecht's triumphal homecoming. After a long and memorable meal, punctuated with music and laughter, Albrecht rose from his honored position at the head of the table to drink a toast to his beloved brother for the years of sacrifice that had enabled Albrecht to fulfill his ambition. His closing words were, "And now, Albert, blessed brother of mine, now it's your turn. Now you can go to Nuremberg to pursue your dream, and I will take care of you." All heads turned in eager expectation to the far end of the table where Albert sat. Tears streaming down his pale face, shaking his lowered head from side to side while he sobbed. Finally, Albert rose and wiped the tears from his cheeks. He glanced down the long table at the faces he loved, and then holding his hand close to his right cheek, he said softly, "No, brother, I cannot go to Nuremberg. It's too late for me. Look what 4 years in the mines have done to my hands. The bones in every finger have been smashed at least once, and lately I've been suffering from arthritis so badly in my right hand that I cannot even hold a glass to return your toast, much less make delicate lines in parchment or canvas with a pen or a brush. My brother, for me, it's too late." More than 450 years have passed, and by now, Albrecht's hundreds of masterful portraits, pen and silver point sketches, watercolors, charcoals, woodcuts, and copper engravings hang in every great museum in the world. But the odds are great that you, like most people, are familiar with only one of Albrecht's works. More than merely being familiar with it, you very well may have a reproduction hanging in your home or office. One day, to pay homage to Albert for all that he had sacrificed, Albrecht painstakingly drew his brother's abused hands with palms together and thin fingers stretched skyward. He called his powerful drawings simply hands, but the entire world almost immediately opened their hearts to his great masterpiece and renamed his tribute of love, the Praying Hands. All of us see this, we recognize it, we know it. I have a picture of it at home. A lot of us do. Albert, that sweet boy, for 4 years, dedicated his life not only to his brother, who got the repercussions of the financial efforts, but Albert prayed for his brother. That is why I think that he was so successful, Albrecht. Not because of the money that he earned in the mines, as more than the love and the precious blessings that those hands, those broken hands, you can see it, held together in prayer. Prayer is so important. So very important. One other quick story. There was an older woman that was across the seas, and she was an invalid in her bed. She could not get up, do anything, go to church, go shopping. She had to be taken care of. She was praying one day, and the Lord gave her a picture in her mind. She didn't know who the person was. She just prayed every day for this picture in her mind. Every day she prayed for whoever that young man was that the Lord had given her in her brain. She prayed for him. Many years later, that very young man walked into her bedroom where she was laying and said, "Can I pray for you?" It was Billy Graham. She had been praying for him all those years. You never know who's praying for you. You never know maybe sometimes who you're praying for, but prayers can never be misregarded.
That's good. So what are we saying? We're saying we're praying. We're going to be praying more this year than we probably have in a long time. I don't think we ever have done a quarterly all-night prayer. And some of you may say, like I said in one of the texts to our group that was kind of texting each other during the 21 days, a support group. Oh, I said, I maybe sent this to all the church. Yeah. Support group. It was a support group. I said, you know, praying all night. I mean, I can barely pray 5 minutes. And the thing is that if you're only praying 5 minutes and you move it to six, that's an accomplishment. But I want to encourage you, if nothing else, when we do these Saturday night prayers or all night prayers, just come and just sit in there. If you don't feel like I can't, just sit in there. And there's something about germinating in an atmosphere where there's the spirit of prayer. It'll do something to you. It'll change you. Yeah. Hopi's not here today, but I'm going to give her testimony. She was sharing yesterday one of her testimonies that she says, "Well, I mean, it's not a really big thing, but I feel like I can pray now." And Kay said, "Oh, that's a huge thing, Hopi. That's, huh?"
You called me Kay.
No, I said gay. Oh. Yeah, it's really easy. Yeah.
I thought he called me that.
My dad calls him different all the time. But
Hopi, it's huge what happened, that you feel comfortable to pray to the Lord now, and that your prayers you feel have power and weight. I mean, that's amazing. And so just don't despise the day of small beginnings, you know. Amen. So God bless you all. We love you. I do want to let you know that on the 27th, and we're going to do it after church, we're going to have, we call it a waffles worship in the word, or word worship and waffles, or whatever. And so over here after service, we'll be having waffles, and it's awesome. It's a great time to fellowship. So
Tara.
Zeke and Tara do that. Yep. Yeah, they do all the hard work. Yep. You guys are good, right? Okay. And we were going to have a chili cook-off. I'm announcing it now so that everybody knows. But we've actually set a date, and it is in October. Because I know it's a bummer. I know. But the thing is that because of time constraints, and it's almost spring, we just felt like we wanted to have it where it's supposed to be. So we will have it this year, though. Okay? I know. We are. That's what the worship. And, but we are going to have something else too. So God bless you all. Thank you for coming today. We love you, and have a blessed day.
Great.